Fake handoff. He'll throw it on second down. Deep down the middle. Wide open man. Akeem Butler. Over the shoulder catch. It's going to be a Cyclone touchdown.
Has a little moxie about him, doesn't it?
He absolutely does. You saw how fired up his sideline was. And they're going to be elated for this. Purdy to the end zone.
Because, yeah, good's good. But what's elite in the elite moments? Don't tell me what you've done. Go back into the critical moments and tell me what you should have done when you had the opportunity to do it. That's what elite is. That's what warriors do. That's what champions do.
Welcome to the Whitecast.
Welcome, listeners, to another edition of the Wide Right Natty Lightcast, sponsored by Estos Bar and Grill. And happy week zero to all our Nebraska fans out there, Cy Husker being one of them, who you will be hearing later on this podcast. We are ready to do what I would say is Matt Nelson's favorite thing in the world, which is a little bit of prediction radio on this episode. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We got some couple of good topics to hit, but I want to start here. So Matt and Dylan on the podcast with me, as always, Austin here, running point, setting up these other guys here. My first question as we get in here is, Matt, you were talking about this over the weekend, and what's more topical than doing it now? Let's get your top state fair foods.
Yeah, top state fair foods. So for those of you who aren't fortunate enough to follow me on Twitter, you saw that I walked through at least my power rankings of an evening at the state fair on Friday, Keeney. So I'm glad this is our intro question because it is topical. Somewhat controversial. I said that my favorite would have been the fried Oreo, and I'm going to stand by that. And let me tell you why. It's not certainly the healthiest. It's not, the most glamorous. Obviously, it's a fried Oreo, but there's just something state fair about it when you just think of this delicious snack cookie that you have now fried, and $5 gets you like six of the things. So in terms of state fair value, it's really not a bad deal. But the most delightful thing about the one that I had was it was not greasy. It was appropriately fried, and on the inside, that Oreo like became cake. It was soft. It was larger than it should have been. It was just delightful. So it's probably a little cliche, but man, I'm here for the fried Oreo.
Keeney, I'll be the Debbie Downer on this portion. I worked, I think out of the 10 days the state fair was here, I think I was working the state fair for like six or seven of those days. So I am at a full distaste of the state fair. I think before this year I've been once. So I'm by no means an expert. The only thing I had at the state fair over this last 2 week stretch was lemonade once, and the rest I was just sweating and drinking out of my water bottle. So I've heard about, I've never even seen it. I didn't know it existed until this year, but I'm sure if I had it, I would love it. It is essentially a pickle wrap deep fried, and like the ham, cream cheese, pickle, put it in a fryer. And I think it's a pickle spear. It's not like the little chunks. And I've never had that, but that sounds absolutely terrific because I love everything involved in that. And then you deep fry it. So I would be all for that.
People were talking about this like excitedly.
Sounds legendary.
I'm sad I didn't try it.
It sounds absolutely disgusting. I would never
hear that. What? It's like a deep fried pickle, but better.
Don't care. I'm not a pickle guy. I can't stand pickles. So I'm coming out with the hot takes here at the very beginning of the episode. Pickles, trash, Mickey Mouse food.
Trash.
Dylan, I appreciate the participation, though. I was going to ask you if you didn't really try anything, like what sign would have pulled you in? Like what would have gotten you first? So, yeah, that's good. KCCI, get my man some time to roam around the fair. We'll make sure that happens in the future. I would go with the classic Barksdale chocolate chip cookie, and Matt, I think you might be on board with this too. Just like the softness that comes with it. You get a cup of them for like $3 and you just go to town on those things. It's about as good as you're going to get out of a chocolate chip cookie. I guess as far as like traditional food, I would say just like a giant fried tenderloin is right up my alley.
Can't go wrong there.
Yeah, both remarkable choices. The man, those cookies are just unbelievable. Humongous fan of them. And I guess an honorable mention for me would be the Euro. I did not get one at the State Fair because the line was, I'm not kidding you, Dylan, in Austin, literally like 200 people long.
I saw the line at the cookie stand, that new like cookie machine shed factory by the grandstand. That line at times was like at least 100 people long, and it had like six different lanes going, and they were all long.
Yeah, that's your Barksdale, and I just went for it anyway. I knew it was going to take a while. The missus is a big fan as well, so I knew that was going to happen no matter what. My honorable mention is just the craft beer tent in general. It's just a great concept. So, yeah, State Fair, like I said, it's topical. And about 50 weeks from now, Dylan, we'll get you out there. We'll get you some good old food. I'm just glad that you didn't say Pepsi was your favorite food at the fair. So
It'd be up there.
With that said, like I said, this is a prediction radio episode, and we are, I guess when this comes out, we'll be like 9 days away from kickoff, 8 or 10 days away from kickoff for Iowa State football. So what we wanted to do before we get into like an actual preview of the game week, we want to take a big picture look at the season and go a little game by game. How's that sound?
All in. Football season, baby. We're back.
I am in like Flynn. Football, not Mickey Mouse season, real fans. Can't wait.
I feel like you're trying to write some sort of jingle or some sort of slogan that you're trying to sell to the athletic department. Real fans, real football, not Mickey Mouse. I love it. Let's, all right, so we're going to go game by game. And what I would like for you is like your two-sentence analysis and a score. We'll kick it off right away with game number one. The University of Iowa North Pantherhawks come to Jack Trice Stadium. Gentlemen, what do you think is going to happen? Dylan, we'll let you lead off here with game number one.
So, quick synopsis. You and I has a really weird offseason. They were kind of bad last year in their spring season that the FCS did. I think Iowa State coasts 38-10, good guys.
So my prediction for directional Iowa is that Iowa State will not come out to the slow start that everybody is, you know, assumes they will. Rumors that they will. It will certainly be the narrative leading up to that first game. I think the offense still works out some kinks, but the defense plays well enough that they roll to a relatively easy victory. I'm going to say 31-10.
All right, I do think this game will be uncomfortably close for about a half. I just don't see a way that the Pantherhawks score enough points on this Iowa State defense to actually win the game. I'm going to go with a 34-17 Iowa State win and no less than 15 sarcastic Matt Nelson comments about the professor in the first half.
As soon as they take that 3-0 lead, I will, trust me, I will be on Twitter and I will be angry.
Yeah. I'm also going to predict a number of cold beverages at your house before the first game. Moving right along. The Cy-Hawk game, the Matt Campbell exercises his demons classic. Matt, I'm going to let you take the lead on this game, week number two. The team out east comes to Jack Trice Stadium.
I will exercise the demons, as Ace Ventura once said. Yes, this game against Western Chicago should be entertaining. That said, I really do believe this. I think, despite the preseason ranking, this has got to be one of the least talented teams that Iowa's had in a while, and I would say certainly that Matt Campbell has played. I don't think it gives Petras much time to improve upon what Hassel called him last year as a malfunctioning jugs machine. I think, you know, They've got a good running back. They've got some, you know, an offensive lineman that's really good in Linderbaum. But defensively, there's holes. Offensively, there's holes. I just don't even really think that it's really that even of a matchup as you look at both teams. So I think this is the year Iowa State not only does it but wins by 17. Give me Iowa State 37-20.
I have the same win-loss result, but a different score. When Iowa State plays the mom, can we get Steelers jerseys? And mom says, no, we have Steelers jerseys at home, and they're Iowa. Iowa State, I think defense just pitches an absolute shutout. I think we skunk them. I'm gonna take Iowa State and Iowa. It's gonna be that Spider-Man meme. Some visual podcasts where you just picture that, but the Spider-Man where they're both pointing at each other. I think they play a very similar game. It's gonna be slow. It's gonna be methodical. I have 14-0 Iowa State wins.
That would be something. Let me just say I'm going to be hammering the under as well. Dylan, I think you're on the right track there. This is probably the first time that Iowa State's had the clear talent advantage coming into the Cy-Hawk game. I am not convinced that Spencer Petras is going to do much of anything in his first road start against a full stadium. So I'm going to go with the imitation black jerseys. The Iowa State did it first. I'm going to go ahead and take the Clones in a 24-10 win. I think it's going to be extremely ugly, and the Clones just kind of pull it off, and just that's all there is to it. Game number three, the Cyclones take Vegas. Who wants to go first on this one? I feel like I know where the analysis is going to turn here. So we've all got us at 2-0 heading to Vegas. Matt, why don't you start?
Yeah, so this game, well, I will be there. Hopefully I remember being there. I'm not convinced. I love Las Vegas, so that I'm excited for. I think this game is just awful to watch. And that's why I'm going for the gambling and the fun and not necessarily for the football. So give me Iowa State 41-3. I think they're just right on the verge of covering. It just depends on whatever that spread ends up being before the game.
Dylan is the resident non-attender of this game. Will Matt make it to kickoff?
I will be sitting comfortably in my apartment when this game starts at 10:30 Central Time. I don't think that's actually it. It is a very late start time, Central Time, but I have Iowa State winning here by about a million. UNLV is like one of the worst teams in FBS football. They're projected to be one of the worst teams. I think the question comes down to is, does Iowa State score more points than like that of Busch Light drank in Las Vegas? I hope Las Vegas sells Busch Light, because if they don't, that UNLV team's going to get burnt to the ground, and so is the whole city. So I got Iowa State, let's say, like 63-7.
I love it. I love it. I will be attending this game as well. I'm a little more modest on the score. I've got the Clones winning this one 48-7, and I think the city of Las Vegas will remember when Iowa State came to town, and I think when the Pac-12 basketball tournament's in Las Vegas, they're going to remember that when we are taking it like we take Kansas City. Moving right
Austin,
along.
I hope that the city of Las Vegas remembers it, because I'm not sure you or I will.
I'm not convinced either. I am going to predict that we both make it to kickoff, though. I'm fairly confident in that.
Yeah, I agree. I'll take you up with that. We can do it.
All right. I love it. Let's go. Game number four at Baylor. It's probably going to be like 8,000 degrees in Waco that day. Speaking as someone who's been to that stadium, it will be hot, and everybody in that stadium will be burnt to a crisp by the time the game is over. This is another spot where I think the Clones need to exercise some demons. They haven't played very well against Baylor. The Dave Aranda version of a year ago, I know we won the game. Like, the final score was deceptive of how poorly we played in the first half. But I do think Iowa State just beats a team that they have a significant talent advantage over. And they take out Baylor a little close for comfort. I say 31-24. We're like recovering an onside kick there at the end of the game to seal it.
I'm pretty right along with you, Keeney. I think this is kind of our first scare, but I think it's going to be a game where I'm never really concerned that we're going to lose, kind of like that TCU game last year where it was like a terrible, crazy start, but I was never like, oh, we're going to lose this game. I think the final score is going to be close. I say 28-17, Iowa State.
Yeah, this Baylor game makes me a little nervous, but I'm not as worried about it as others. Not really sure where this Dave Aranda thing is going, whether it's going to be successful or just sort of flame out. It seems like it's kind of on the precipice right now. I think Iowa State wins. I think there's no issues with tents or shade. I think they'll bring their own. And give me Iowa State 35-24.
All right, so we are all sitting at 4-0. I think that's about to change here in game number 5 when we play Kansas, Matt. I know you've got Kansas winning that one at Jack Trice, right?
Yes, no doubt. That's my prediction, actually. No. Iowa State over Kansas. Let's see. Let's go 38-10.
I'm going to go in my prediction.
I'm probably a little low on my points for Iowa State now that I think about it. Go ahead.
It might be, the spread might be like 35 this game. I'm going to say in my prediction, I have 70-0. That might be even a bit too far. I'll say like 53. I don't even know if a team can get to 53 points, but that's what came to me. 53-6. And then right before the game, I'm going to see if I can get a cameo from Snoop Dogg saying, "Wool clones." And then just tag every Kansas account I can find.
All right. Iowa State 55, Kansas 21. I think that's all that needs to be said. Kansas stinks.
Ooh, 55-21. I like it.
All right. Farmageddon, which apparently the folks down there in at Purple Kansas are trying to get people to come to the game. So this is a maybe in terms of I will attend. Dylan, your take on Farmageddon 2021.
We quote unquote shit canned them in 2020, beat them 45-0. Was it really 45-0? Am I getting that right?
It was 45-0. It was as thorough of an ass kicking I've ever seen a football team put on another one.
I said 45-0 and it seriously like sounded too good to be true in my head, but no, that's okay. Just to one-up ourselves from last year, you either keep moving or you go backwards in football. I say 48-0. We shit can them times two. And I hope I'm wrong, but this could be the last Farmageddon for a while, just depending on what happens. So if it is, I hope we just roll them in 2021 the same way we did in 2020.
Yeah, go to Manhattan for me, please. I have very bad experiences there, but one was a basketball game in which we led the whole way, and then I think it ended with Niang throwing away an inbounds pass under the basket. Maybe it was 2014. I forget the year. The other was the picked up flag for pass interference. So a couple of very bad experiences in the Little Apple. I don't really understand why everybody, I guess not everybody, but people are saying, Dylan, people are wondering if this game is going to be close.
And I've seen that too.
I know they had some people out with COVID last year. I don't care if they had all of their players back plus four of Oklahoma's. We still would have absolutely housed them. They wanted no part of Iowa State. They were not even in the same league. And I know, Skylar Thompson will be back, but that game does not really worry me. I'm not really sure what Kansas State has outside of Deuce Vaughn. He's got to be able to stay healthy. And really outside of him, Skylar Thompson does not have many other options. And they've lost some talent to the NFL. The game is probably about the same as Baylor. It's a game that, Iowa State could slip in, but that's what they're supposed to do this year is win those games. And I think they do. I think it's going to be fairly low scoring, though. Give me Iowa State 28, Kansas State 14.
You haven't heard from me yet on this one. I'm one of those people that thinks it's going to be a close game. Might have to attend just... It'll depend on the kickoff time. I mean, realistically, it's if it's done correctly, if it's like a 2:30 kick, I might be able to make the whole trip in one day. So give me Iowa State 27-24 in a game where everything goes wrong. And yet we kick a field goal to take a lead there near the end of the game, and then the defense gets the one stop that they need. So Iowa State walks out at 6-0. We have 6-0 across the board for all three of us, heading home to play Oklahoma State. The Cowboys come to Ames, a place that they have not had fond memories of. What are we thinking here? Matt, lead us off.
Yeah, it hurt, as Stephen A would say this, it hurts me to say this. I love the Iowa State Cyclones. I kind of slipped into Jeff Johnston there, which was not quite what I was expecting. I think Iowa State loses this game. I think Iowa State always loses a game like this, seemingly at home. This is not a game that they should lose in a year like this, but outside of Brock Purdy kind of sneaking up on Oklahoma State down in Stillwater, we've kind of gotten owned by the Cowboys the last few times that we've played them. It seems like Gundy has Matt Campbell's number. So I think this is just one of those frustrating games where nothing really goes right. We have a few turnovers on offense, and it's just kind of a boring, awful game to watch, and Oklahoma State wins 24-21.
Okay, so I'm going to keep sounding super optimistic until I stop sounding optimistic. I have us winning this game. Like Matt said, Oklahoma State, similar to Iowa, seem to always have our number. I say screw that this year. This year is different. We're a different team. We beat Gundy 31-28. It's close the whole time, and I think this game is what Keeney was saying was Kansas State, where everything goes wrong, but we still win because we're just that good, and we have a bunch of seniors who have been here before. I think we win.
Matt, I, no joke, also think Iowa State loses this game. This was the one that I had written down. I think that Oklahoma State just kind of does have our number. I know that, like you said, we had the game where Brock Purdy managed to beat Oklahoma State down in Stillwater, but we're due for a slip up somewhere, and this is the spot. I think it's going to happen. As I survey the schedule, I have Oklahoma State winning this game 38-34 in a high scoring game where the defense, this is where like the Matt Nelson, John Heacock, Hato meter is going to be running off the charts. We're going to have trouble stopping them somehow. I just, something about Spencer Sanders where he just is effective enough at everything that he does. I think they score some points and we get upset at home. But sneaky. Then we travel to Morgantown, my favorite Big 12 city. Yeah.
Now, hold on. I'll go ahead. I'll handle West Virginia first, Keeney. But let me, just for you Iowa State, if you know, fans out there listening, before you start bagging on myself and Keeney for, you know, for being defeatist or whatever, I would like to point out that there is a fair amount of evidence to kind of back up the way that Dylan feels about this game. And actually, if you look at just one metric, which would be like ESPN's FBI, where they go out to predict games, if you look at, you know, their odds of or their percent chance of winning that game at home, they actually have those odds are not only about as high as Iowa and West Virginia, but Baylor is actually ranked as a tougher matchup. Which I don't really get. And actually Texas Tech is ranked as a tougher matchup. So if you look at Iowa State's schedule holistically, that actually should be a game that they don't have problems with. This is just Keeney and I think this is past fandom creeping in a little bit to how we feel about this season.
It's going to happen somewhere. This is a spot where I think it'll happen. We'll keep going. And I think we might be able to explain ourselves near the end. So Matt, why don't you go ahead and tackle West Virginia for us?
West Virginia should be better. I actually think they're maybe a little overhyped, but I mean, one, Morgantown, elite road game experience. We've talked about this on this show ad nauseum. It is well worth your time. If you can somehow manage to figure out a way to get to Morgantown, it's not the easiest thing. I'd recommend flying into Pittsburgh and renting a car. Anyways. They return a lot of their production as well. Offensively, they were pretty shaky last year. No one really knows if Nagy's the answer. Their defense was good, but Iowa State smacked that ass last year in Ames. So I think this offense can certainly do it again. The one thing that I keep hearing people say is that Morgantown is tough to play in. And I don't really get that because Iowa State has had a good record. I'm knock on wood as I say that. Iowa State's had a good record there going back to even Paul Rhodes managing to get a win there on the road. And when you play in it, it looks just like Jack Trice Stadium. It's not super loud. I don't really see this. I would expect Iowa State, quite frankly, to maybe have more trouble with Baylor or possibly even Texas Tech in a letdown spot. So I think it's close. I think it's probably a close route, but Iowa State pulls ahead on a late touchdown, 37-30.
I have this being the classic slow start that like bites us in the ass. And I think Iowa State comes out slow here. We're kind of in the middle of Big 12 season. West Virginia, it's not going to be a game that Iowa State's like super hyped about to go on the road to Morgantown. They might be kind of looking ahead to next week against Texas here. I do have us coming out on top. This could be, I think, a slip up game. I'm not going to rule out that we couldn't lose here. I have us winning 28-20 in Morgantown.
I've got it a little bit more comfortable, and we talk about maybe Mike Gundy has Matt Campbell's number. Well, Matt Campbell has West Virginia's number. I think the Clones actually win this game fairly comfortably. I've got it at 45-24. I'm just not convinced that West Virginia, I mean, they're going to be better, but I just don't see a way that they really keep it close. I think this one plays a lot more to the script of the game a year ago where Iowa State really beat the crap out of them. And yeah, I think they'll be a little more feisty at home, but I've got the Clones pretty easily. I'm going to put my Cardinal colored glasses on for the Texas game because in my head, it should be a little bit more of a competitive game. But I do think this is going to be the angriest that Jack Trice Stadium is all season, even more so than the Cy-Hawk game. It's going to be electric. I think it's going to be cold. We're in November now. I do think Iowa State beats Texas pretty handily. And Sark has a tough time getting the offense going. I've got the Clones winning 38-13 over Texas. Jack Trice.
Just whooped them. I was hoping, Keeney, you let me go first because I was just going to say final score and that I would like to yield my time to Austin Keeney so he can paint the picture on how he wants the weather to look like this game. Yes. But I'll paint the picture. I want it to be hell frozen over. I want it to be sleeting icicles.
Yes.
I want it to be 10 degrees. I want it to be miserable for everyone involved, including me.
Yes.
I have us winning 10-0. I don't want to see a thrown pass the entire game. Breece Hall is going to have 500 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns, even though I just said it's 10-0. Iowa State wins. Fuck Texas.
Matt.
I want Iowa State to literally put Texas in a grave. I want Matt Campbell to be out at midfield with a shovel, literally digging a massive hole, and then on kickoff, just hurting all of the Texas players just right into this grave. I want them to be buried. The crowd will be unbelievably loud and raucous. I would not be surprised if shit gets thrown on the field. I would love to see it happen, that stuff getting thrown on the field. I think it's going to be just an insane football game. I don't really trust Texas. I don't trust their quarterback. I think the storyline is going to be Bijan Robinson versus Breece Hall, blah, 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 blah. And I think this is the one where Iowa State does come out and you know, solidly thump them. I'll take Iowa State 35-14.
I love it. Yeah, my final score prediction, horns will be down.
That is correct.
So to recap, Dylan, you've got us at 9-0 at this point, and Matt and I have Iowa State at 8-1, conveniently actually losing the same game to Oklahoma State. We did not talk about this before we started recording.
That we did.
Then we travel to Lubbock to play Texas Tech. Matt Campbell, visits his son on this weekend in November down there in Lubbock. And Dylan, why don't you take this one away?
This is the good old-fashioned ass-whooping of the season, I think. We seem to just beat up on Texas Tech every time we see them. I remember the Joel Lanning and Alan Lazard just having their way with the Red Raiders. And that it was so crazy. I remember that game. Like, it was very rare that Iowa State just won comfortably, and I wasn't anxious for an entire Saturday afternoon. It was just a bizarre feeling. I have us winning 42-14.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you saw what we did to Texas Tech last year. I cannot imagine that either team has changed precipitably enough to change the outcome in a remarkable way. So I think Breece Hall just absolutely runs all over them, runs up and down the bleachers several times, runs into the tunnel, runs up to get popcorn, runs out to the grocery store, to HEB to grab tortillas, whatever he needs to do. I think that's what happens. Give me Iowa State 41, Texas Tech 10.
Iowa State 52, Texas Tech 17. Moving right on. Convincing. All right, Dylan, you have us at 10-0. Matt and I have us at 9-1. Heading to Norman for what is bound to be the game of the season, or everybody seems to believe it will be. Dylan, I know what your prediction is on this game. We're going to diverge a little bit, maybe, but I'm going to let Matt take this one away first.
Yeah, I think it's entertaining. I think it's somewhat of like a classic game, but Spencer Rattler shows improvement at that point. I think Iowa State ends up dropping that game, something like 27-23. It will be close. I actually think it'll be fairly low scoring despite all the offensive fireworks. I think Oklahoma's the best team in the country this year. So that's my opinion.
I feel like maybe Matt and I were like writing down our predictions at the exact same time and we're on some sort of weird wavelength. I've got Oklahoma winning this game 30-23. A surprising defensive effort from the Sooners and one Brock Purdy turnover that's not his fault. I think this plays out really similarly to the Big 12 championship game from a year ago. The Sooners take it and Iowa State drops to 9-2 on my season.
Okay, so this is where my prediction, this is where the wheels start to fall off. I think this is absolutely a classic game. Shades of Villanova, North Carolina national championship. I think this is a game where Brock Purdy has that definitive play, like the Seneca run. I saw that on Twitter a while ago that Brock Purdy really hasn't had a play that we all remember him from. I think he gets some crazy shit super late, but then Spencer Rattler gets like the Chris Jenkins half court shot that sends it into overtime. Oklahoma gets a big defensive stand. We get the ball first. They kick the field goal. They win in overtime. 38-35, but I think this is going to be a legendary game. Iowa State and Oklahoma, you know, college football playoff contention is on the line. I think this will be an absolute blast of a game, but I think we lose.
Well, this is certainly a game that Iowa State can win. I don't think anybody would be surprised if we're all looking at a potential loss here. So Matt and I have Iowa State at 9-2. Dylan has us at 10-1, heading into the regular season finale, playing TCU. And Dylan, why don't you take the lead on this one as well?
So this is where I have a slipping up and losing, and Keeney, it totally could be because of pick six previews and I'm just sipping his Kool-Aid. But TCU was a close game last year. I think they just got better this year. And I think we kind of have an emotional roller coaster the week before and we're not really recovered from it. And they kind of catch us sleeping and they beat us 21-17.
Oh, how crazy do I go with this? Do I keep it on the rails? What do you guys think?
I'll make it a little easier. I'll give you my prediction here. So on senior day and super senior day, I don't think Iowa State's going to lose this game. TCU is going to come out ready to play. I do think they'll be a pretty solid opponent for Iowa State, but I have the Clones pulling it out 35-32.
This is where if you are the prototypical kicked in the nuts Cyclone fan, you know what you do with this game, right? You predict him to lose it. Like that's what everyone's going to do. That's what I mean by going off the rails. TCU will be better, no doubt. Max Duggan might be able to do some things, but I don't really know who he's going to be throwing to. He doesn't seem to have really any weapons. I don't think this is a game Iowa State loses. With those seniors, there's no way. I actually think they kind of put a hurting on TCU. I think it's kind of a bad matchup for them, and it's a good one for us. So give me Iowa State in impressive fashion, 42-21.
Matt, you had me scared for a second. I thought I was going to have to put some like really scary music underneath your prediction for this game. So,
I mean, you know, some people are going to – they're going to – do that with that game, right? They're like, nope, this is the game we lose. And you can't look at the senior class and what the season is going to end up looking like and arrive at that conclusion, in my opinion.
Well, you know what this is, because we all predict that Iowa State will have 9 wins at this point. Matt, you and I have us at 9 wins going into this game, coming off of a loss. So the true Iowa State like kick to the nuts would be loss here, loss in the bowl game, and finishing like 9-4. So I think we're going to go ahead and go with a 10 win season for all three of us. We've got us at 10-2, slipping up at Oklahoma and one other place on the schedule, which I think is plenty fair. You know, it's really crazy to go game by game and think, honestly, like, wow, I have a really tough time seeing us losing more than like 2 games. So kudos to us for that. Do we want to make any predictions about potential postseason?
We might as well.
All right. Yeah, Dylan, why don't you talk to us about the entire postseason? So potential Big 12 championship game and bowl game.
Yeah, so I think we still make the Big 12 championship game. We're coming in off of 2 losses. It's Oklahoma again, who by this time, you know, they have the national championship in their sights. I'm with you, Matt. I think they're the best team in the country, not the conference. And I think they beat us again. I think it's another great game, but I just think Oklahoma is like generationally great this year. I think they have the best player in college football. I think they'll have the best team in college football. I have them beating us 42-36 in the Big 12 championship rematch from last year.
How about a bowl game?
And then I have us going to the Sugar Bowl. I don't know if that's a playoff game this year or not, but whatever the game is for the second best team in the Big 12. And then I told you the wheels were falling off. I have us losing the bowl game. I think that a lot of the seniors and a lot of the draft prospects aren't going to be playing in it. I think it'll maybe be the Sam Decker's and Jarrell Brock show. And we put up a good fight, but we're probably going to face a really good SEC team here. I have us losing 24-17, and I have us losing the last 4 games of the season. I'm sorry. I love you.
You son of a bitch. Matt, what happens in the postseason?
Oof. I am torn on what happens in the Big 12 title game, but my gut does tell me that Oklahoma probably does win that game. They stand to be very, very, very impressive. And I think, again, they're going to win the national title. I think Iowa State makes another BCS bowl, and I think they win it. So I think they don't, you know, accomplish the goal of winning the Big 12, but I think they get to 11 wins. That's an incredible season, especially if you add like a back-to-back, you know, Sugar or Fiesta Bowl, championship again to go with all those accomplishments. Iowa State fans get to go to a really cool bowl game, and I think if that's the result at the end of the season, I think everyone would consider that a success.
All right, I've got Iowa State also losing the Big 12 championship game to Oklahoma. I do not think that Oklahoma is going to win the national championship, though. However, Oklahoma will make the college football playoff. They hold off Iowa State in another tight game. I think Iowa State takes a lead late in the game, but Oklahoma comes back to win it. And they go to the playoff, and they get their shit stomped like they always do in the playoff. But Iowa State goes to the Sugar Bowl. They play, we'll call it a less than motivated Georgia team, and they pull out a victory and go 11-3. So,
And then the SEC says Georgia just didn't want to be there.
Oh, that's a given. They already don't want to be there in the Sugar Bowl.
Correct.
The season hasn't started yet, but they already do not want to go to the Sugar Bowl. Same for LSU and Auburn,
Florida,
and any other school that could potentially get there. Texas A&M. They're going to go like 4-8. They suck. All right, that is our game by game prediction. So for those recapping at home, Matt and I have Iowa State at 11-3 with a bowl win. Dylan has us at 10-4 with 4 straight losses. All right. Season.
Hey, 10 wins. 10 wins. First time ever.
Yeah, that's 10 win season. So that's fantastic. Matt, you had one thing before we move on to our last thing. I'll let you go ahead and take this up now because it ties into football season and what we think is going to happen this year. Why don't you lead us into that, and then we'll finish off with a fun thing.
Yeah, I do just want to say, Dylan, your season gives people, you know, Iowa State fans the full experience of being able to reach new highs and accomplish something never done before, and also end in crushing disappointment. So
yeah,
that's well played by you.
That's the Iowa State way.
Yeah,
that's it right there. Okay, so wild card, and I got this idea from the Dan and Ty, my two guys over at the Solid Verbal. If you do not listen to that podcast, it is, in my opinion, the best college football podcast They do three shows a week, preview almost every game, recap every game. It's a great show. They always do what they call a fantasy things draft, where they draft things about college football that they think are funny or tropes that they know the media and announcers are going to use, cliches that they're going to use. It's almost like a college football bingo card in general. And I thought it would be funny to do that for both one thing specific to Iowa State and then one thing specific to the Big 12 this season. And obviously something like realignment, I mean, that's not even a trope. That's going to be like the focus of every broadcast. But my Iowa State thing before I get to the Big 12 thing is that Iowa State lost to Louisiana last year. In week 12 of the season, of this freaking season, some announcer during a game, some Joel Klatt on big noon kickoff in the morning, Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN, it's going to be get referenced like every week somehow, either in the broadcast or before the game in the pregame show. I don't know why everyone still wants to judge like preseason at this point, 2021 Iowa State on the first game of the season from last year, but I don't expect them to stop. So that is my Iowa State specific thing. Well, let's go around and get your guys's before we go on to one for the Big 12.
Ben, I'm going to let you go here, and I'm comfortable going last, although I'm a little worried that mine might get taken.
Well, okay, I'm Keeney. If my backup is you pitched this for me in the Slack, so I'm going to take it, and it's too on brand for me not to take this. It might get brought up once or 3 million times that Charlie Kohler did in fact play basketball with the most prolific 3-point shooter in the NBA. The greatest draft pick in the 2018 draft, probably the brightest, best future NBA Hall of Famer, multiple time champion, multiple time MVP, the king of New York, the king of Atlanta, Trae Young. That might get brought up once or twice. I don't know.
I did serve that up for you. I hope you don't have final editing power on this podcast before it goes out. So I can very easily cut all that out if I needed to.
That's good.
All right. I was worried mine was going to get taken, but it didn't. So my Iowa State thing is going to be the graphic that shows how tall our receivers are versus how short the other team's cornerbacks are.
Yes.
You're going to get that like 8,000 times a broadcast.
That is a good one.
Yeah, still can confirm Xavier Hutchinson, Chase Allen, Charlie Kohler, all still very tall.
That has been confirmed. That's correct.
That's fantastic, Keeney. That will be shown all the time. Also, one, I just have a little bonus one here. The David Montgomery, like Frankenstein, where it's like legs of Adrian Peterson, brains of Barry Sanders. I want them to do that for Breece Hall, too. Just keep it going. Keep the theme alive.
That's a good one. I do miss that. My honorable mention is just like generic B-roll footage of farm equipment, like coming in and out of commercials.
Corn. Shout out corn.
Yeah. Do you know that we farm in Iowa? Matt, why don't you take us around the Big 12? What do you got?
Yeah. Well, this is low hanging fruit, so I'm going to use this one. I may have a backup as well, but Deuce Vaughn, and the fact that he is short is going to be mentioned like 45 times every Saturday. Like, we get it. He's short. Thank you. We are aware. We can see his height. He's been around for a few years now. Like, we get it. He's short. Oh, sorry. I had to get that off my chest.
Mine is going to be, would you believe it? Oklahoma has a quarterback that might win the Heisman. Because that's what the Heisman is now, is Oklahoma's quarterback. So, and I expect Spencer Rattler to win the Heisman, but I think it's going to get brought up. Oh, remember when Oklahoma had a bunch of crazy friggin' good quarterbacks? Because we do.
I'm going to say Lincoln Riley getting roasted for his brisket.
I hope so. Nice. Oof. I hope so.
I hope so too. That's not going to fly in the big bad SEC. It, probably in Big 12 country, you know, we don't know how to cook anything or how to operate a smoker. But in the SEC, he'll get killed for that.
I think an honorable mention is going to be Lance Leipold, talked about as if he's like the second or third best coach in the Big 12 as his team is 0-7 and getting blown out by 50 points every game.
Yeah, I get that.
I want him to succeed there. I don't want Kansas to stay this bad, and I think Leipold will make them better, but there the this this oh okay I got another one. Pro Football Focus on Twitter continuing to just troll Iowa State after every week of Big 12 play.
Yeah, we're gonna be 8-0, and Pro Football Focus is gonna have us at like 14th in their top 25.
Yes, they will. My sneaky one, because this one just came out. RG3, you're gonna get a lot of like RG3 at Baylor highlights when he's calling games for ESPN this year. Just be prepared for that right now. So, Matt, that was good. I did think about that for quite a while, about what I was going to say about Iowa State. So yeah, good thought provoker. And hey, shout us out if you have any others that you think we should be knowing about. You know, like reply to the tweet for the podcast or comment on the article on the site, because we'd love to hear it.
Keen, let's put this in the maybe as the tweet on the release of the podcast, so that we can start a fun and frank discussion on cliches we're going to be absolutely exhausted of hearing.
Yeah, we'll get something out there for that. We'll get the conversation going. Speaking of getting the conversation going and of drafting things, my last topic, as we get close to the opening game of the season, I want us to do a draft of we're going to go five rounds here, our top tailgate things. Now, I'm purposely leaving this extremely vague because I want to hear what you guys have and I want to hear you guys get creative. So the only thing we need to do is decide a draft order. We'll do snake style, just like fantasy football. So you'll have seen our wide right fantasy draft by then. Also, if you have a good punishment for last place, let us know either in Discord or on Twitter or something. Let's see. Draft order generator. I am going to do a little bad radio and pull this up.
Great radio.
Okay, so I definitely did not rig it this way, but I got the first pick. Matt, you're going second, and then Dylan is going to bring us back around with the third pick.
That's convenient, Keeney. That's convenient.
How convenient.
I did not rig this. I said it's bad radio. I actually did go to a generator and get us a list. But with that said, I'm going to happily take the first pick, and round one, pick one. My number one tailgate thing, I'm going to go with beer.
Do we have to specify a beer type, or is beer a valid?
I'll let you guys decide that for me. I think beer covers it all. But if you
I think it's beer in general, because like no one's going to be out here drinking like 9% IPAs or stouts on game days. It's implied that you're going the lighter beer route.
All right. I was going to say, because the potential exists, and I'm thinking like a cold weather tailgate, like as we get deeper in the year and you got like an Oktoberfest in like the middle of October. But I'm going to go with beer because I do think that covers everything. So that's round one, pick one, is beer.
Matt, solid first pick.
Yes. Matt gets the second pick.
Oh, I am going to take, because I want this to encompass, all right, I'm going to throw this out there, and I need you guys to tell me if this is too broad, right?
Let's hear it.
I'm going to take the smoker.
Okay.
Not the grill, not the oven, not the Blackstone, the smoker, where you can make your smoked mac and cheese, where I can smoke chicken wings with my famous homemade dry rub recipe that I'm quite proud of. That's scribbled onto a sheet of notebook paper and crayon, essentially. You can make ribs, pork loin, brisket. That's going to get you to meat paradise on most tailgating Saturdays.
All right. Like I said, I left this open. I left this vague. So you can have, like, the smoker is a great call. And if somebody wants to pick a specific food later on, they're also welcome to do that. So
yes, absolutely.
I think that plays. Smoker. Good. Good pick. Dylan.
Iowa State, more than accustomed to an 11 a.m. kickoff. And breakfast food, not really my thing. What is my thing? And I'll just keep it at breakfast pizza. But if it's up to me, I'm going Casey's Bacon Breakfast Pizza. No questions asked. That's easy first pick.
That is an elite pick, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it does not matter if the game kicks off at 11 or it's a mid-afternoon kick. Iowa State fans are going to be there early, and they're bringing Casey's Breakfast Pizza. That is a fantastic pick.
And then my second one, and this might be, you know, I'm certainly not playing the crowd here because you're either all about these or you hate them. And I'm going to go Bloody Mary. I love Bloody Marys. It's a divisive drink, but again, it's a good drink in the morning. There are some other like high early morning alcoholic beverages, but I'm going to go Bloody Mary.
Damn it. That was legitimately going to be my pick.
I got to appreciate Dylan just like monopolizing the morning
breakfast.
Part of
I know. Too.
Been there, Teeny.
That's good stuff.
Man, that hurts. That cuts me to my core. I got the food, but beer and Bloody Marys are already gone. So this is a tough spot for me. I'm going to take Bags.
Oh my god, that was going to be my pick.
Yep,
gotta have. It's a legendary tailgate game. Gotta have Bags. Just have to.
Good pick. Okay, I got two picks here. So I am. God, I really wanted to take Bags.
Trade back if you want. I'm accepting. Just call my agent. We're accepting trades.
Okay. And Dylan took Bloody Marys. I'll save. You know, I'm not gonna do that. This one right now. Let's go with. I want a game two, so I'm gonna take Big Jenga.
Sure. Ooh, good, very solid choice. So much better than ladder golf. Get out of here with that ladder golf.
All right, so Jenga, and then coming back, I am going to pick. This is another one I'm really torn between. Let's go Scotcheroos.
Oh, a fine pick.
Got to get a dessert pick. In there.
You do have to get the dessert. That's very true. See, I find myself in need of some sort of beverage item. And with it being a lot of mornings, and with me sometimes frequenting Tip Top, I'm going to take the screwdriver, but I'm going to also broadly expand that out to, I guess, maybe drinks involving orange juice, because an orange beer in the morning is also very good. The Tequila Sunrise can sometimes be a good option as well, but any of those drinks in the orange juice realm, the orange beer, the screwdriver, the Tequila Sunrise.
All right, we'll say orange juice.
You could throw a yeah, there you go. I guess the mimosa is also included if you feel like, you know, getting a headache.
All right. Honesty hour. I'll put my hand up. I have liquor on my list, but I do think that's being a little bit too selfish and sort of monopolizing. So I think we'll take that pick off the board and we'll be a little bit more specific when it comes to actual drinks. That's How's that fair. Sound? That's okay. Fair. Dylan, you got two picks here.
Also, Keeney, four rounds or five rounds?
We're going five.
Okay.
And so I'm you guys many undrafted free agents to come.
Yes. You guys had Bags and Big Jenga and kind of the new age of tailgating games. Bags, not so much. Bags has been around for a while. New Jenga is kind of a newer one. I'm going to go old school, just playing catch with a football.
Just oh, what?
Tossing I thought around wow. the pigskin. That one later.
Tossing the pigskin.
I love it. A football. That's perfect.
I don't know how it fell this far.
Unbelievable. Tossing the pigskin must have had some legal trouble, or a video of it smoking weed out of a football helmet must have been released right before this draft.
Yeah, but I'm picking up. That's high value in the third round, fellas. End of the third round.
That's great value. That's David Montgomery value.
I was laying in the weeds thinking nobody's going to think of this one, and just a classic football toss around. Dylan, I love it. I think you're killing it right now.
Keeney, somebody in your draft room is a leaker. You got to tighten things up.
I do. We'll work on that. All right, Dylan, you're back up.
And then Matt alluded to it way back in the first round, took the smoker. I'm going to take the charcoal grill. Another just thick tailgate staple. Got to have a grill, hamburgers, hot dogs, brats, whatever you need. I'm going with the grill.
Yeah, the grill is, if I couldn't have the smoker, that would be my next choice, because that gets a lot of your food needs covered. So that's really well done.
Also a little bit more versatile too. It's a little bit easier to move around.
Yes, it is. It portable, does not require power or, you know, propane. So that's a good call. right, I'm not sure if I should take it here or if it will make its way back around. I think I'm gonna have to. Oh, this is tense. I think I'm gonna have to put that one back off. I'm gonna take. I've already got the smoker, so I've got the smoker. I've got bags. I've got my drink. So I'm taking care of there. This is one that I'm just gonna go with because it's a personal favorite of mine to eat at tailgates. And you guys know me. I love food, but I'm not a dessert guy. I don't need the sweets. I just don't like them. There are some that I do, but they're not my favorite things. Even though I did say the fried Oreo is my favorite state fair food, I'm gonna take chili. We play a lot of cold weather games. Chili's good in the morning. Chili's good on a baked potato. Chili is good by itself. I love a good football batch of chili.
Yeah, just
a very tip top influence. Draft for Matt Nelson tonight.
That's correct. Even though that chili should come with Tums on top of it instead of oyster crackers.
Oh man, I'm still mad at Dylan for stealing a football. That was gonna.
Yep.
Oh.
Just brilliance.
All right.
Brilliance in its simplicity, Dylan.
All right. Another pick that is, I think. This is my pick. I'm calling it brilliant in its simplicity. I'm going to go with the classic stereo. Got to have some music at your tailgate.
Sure. Okay. Well done.
And then, God, I got to pick one more time, too. This is how I close out my draft. All right. I am going to go with chips and dip.
Very solid.
Just another great tailgate and food. Shareable.
That's well worded because that opens it up for crab rangoon dip, cowboy caviar,
buffalo chicken,
pickle wrap dip. Man, that's smart.
You guys can stop me here if I'm getting crazy, but do you count like tortilla chips and like the queso with ground beef in it as a dip?
I think that plays.
Because that queso is a separate item on my draft board.
I think you can keep that in chips and dip. I think that's fair.
All right. Sometimes if it's a road game and it's just like the wife and I at home, this is obviously not very healthy, but lunch will sometimes literally just be cheese dip with Rotel, jalapenos, ground beef in it, and tortilla chips. That's literally all I will eat.
That's heaven.
Nothing wrong with
heaven
that.
Right there.
All right. So, Keeney, you guys can tell me if I'm – this is too close to your pick, but for me to close it out, I think the sound system and the speaker, that's one thing that's more for projection for the atmosphere for the valve. For me, I need the perfectly painstakingly crafted and curated tailgate playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's different enough.
Yep, I agree with that. And then when our tailgates inevitably blend, I have the stereo so we can play it.
Oh, fantastic.
All right.
The tag team of champions right there. I'm going to keep on with the kind of technological side of things. And this has gotten me out of many a pickle in my day. The portable phone charger.
Wow.
Notoriously bad pregame phone charge, like just forgot to put it on the charger the night before, and man, has that gotten me out of some jams. So I'm gonna go with the old reliable portable phone charger for my last and final pick.
Dylan just out here absolutely killing this draft. I'm gonna put it up to a poll, but I feel like Matt and I might have just gotten absolutely smoked here. All right,
Let's run through everyone's picks. I will get this onto social media. Keeney, what were yours?
All right. So I had the first pick. So I've got beer, Big Jenga, Scotcheroos, a stereo, and chips and dip.
Okay, I've got it
down here. So Matt, you've got the smoker. Bags, cocktails featuring orange juice, chili, and a great playlist.
Okay, and then we gotta round out with I'm already not liking how mine stacks up to compare to what I know Dylan's is going to entail. All right.
Dylan. So I got. Yeah, go ahead, Keeney.
You can read yours if you want. Okay. Well, I got it. I'll take it. All right. So Dylan has breakfast pizza, Bloody Marys, a football to toss around, tossing the pigskin, the charcoal grill, and the portable phone charger.
Nice. Okay. This is Dylan. Dylan, man, that's a team.
Did I secretly want the third pick? People are asking.
Yeah,
I got Jason Tatum, and Keeney got Markelle Fultz traded back.
That is absolute slander. Considering
people are asking.
I did not waste my first pick as I took beer, the ultimate tailgate thing. So I am quite comfortable where I am. But Dylan, I think you killed that. Actually, I think we all killed it because
those not those a bad tailgate like, there.
Those sounds like three tailgate. Three pretty damn good tailgates. Without
all
a doubt.
Winners in my book.
Yep. Let's run through some honorable mentions or some undrafted free agents, I suppose. If you got them, just go ahead and throw them out.
I mean, Pepsi was my. I think that should have been assumed that that's just on my team already. But I mean, I felt bad for leaving it out. But that's a pretty niche pick to use Pepsi on.
All right, I have
very niche.
I have water.
Sure.
I think you got to hydrate at some point.
Lawn chairs. You need every single lawn chair in your house and more. I'm kind of shocked that one didn't get there. But
that's a great call.
Great call.
Koozies got left out. Yep. I had that on my board.
Koozies, good one. In the vein of the stereo, I also had the TV that you can hook up and watch games while you're waiting to go to the stadium.
Super clutch.
If you ever find one of those, you get a crowd around that tailgate for a little while. Just enough to see.
Especially if it's a night game. Like if the game you're tailgating is a night game and you're missing like a full day of college football because you're out tailgating, real nice to have a TV nearby.
Yeah. Like I got to be honest, Iowa plays Indiana on that first game. I'm actually really intrigued by what happens there. And they kick off like an hour before Iowa State does. And being that none of us are in the student section, we can wait until the last minute to go in. I'd love to be able to check out some of the college football happening before then. So I've got the TV.
That's a clutch one. Man, if I had to go another route, the breakfast burrito, not to do everything breakfast theme, but man, that's a staple. For a game, Can Jam. If you never played Can Jam, it's very fun.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic game. I can't throw a frisbee, and I still love that game.
Can Jam and Bags will be featured at every Nelson 2110 Country Club tailgate, so just so you're aware.
I'm pretty sure I know what Can Jam is, but I also had Beersby.
Oh, Beersby's fun. Logistically, a little more challenging, but very fun. Cannot be played on pavement unless you have the correct setup, but those do exist.
True. Beersby is a very fun game.
The TV is an excellent pick. That's one that should have been picked sooner.
I have burgers, just classic. Can't go wrong. You can make a thousand of them. Keep your whole tailgate happy. And then one last one I had is a food item. I've got, and you guys can help me if this is a good one or not, puppy chow. I think that's a great shareable. Yeah. Matt, you're not a huge sweets guy, but I like puppy chow at my tailgate. I got to have something sweet to go with my other savory snacks.
I think puppy chow certainly plays. My best friend, every time we go to Casey's, like every time we're making a stop on a road trip, it's Mountain Dew and puppy chow. And, you know, you got to tip your cap to that kind of snack choice at a gas station.
Yeah, that is a glorious one.
Anything else?
I went almost like I'm looking at my undrafted free agents. I think I almost went too simple, but I think it helped me out in the long run. I had coolers down, you know, especially the ones where you see that cooler and you know that has made it to hundreds of Iowa State home football games. Like the cooler looks like it's from 1980 and it's just old and plastic and like the ice melts real quick and it's just a pool of cold water. You need one of those at every tailgate.
True, that is a classic, and I thought about that. I didn't feel like it was a great pick for the draft itself, but it's a great one to go ahead and scoop up there as a free agent. The last one I have is my bet slip, which I'm just like fretting over all day waiting for kickoff.
Yeah.
Do like that. Absolutely.
All my bets that I will inevitably lose. So
Pac-12 after dark action.
Yeah. How about like leftovers in a Pac-12 game when you get home after the Iowa State game?
Nothing better.
If I could draft anything else, it would be weather where I can wear shorts with a long sleeve shirt or a crew neck sweatshirt.
Chef's kiss.
Yep.
And the grass lots to be open.
Yeah.
Oh, open my sweet grass lots.
I'm thinking like a hooded sweatshirt and a stocking hat too. When it's like,
oh,
just that kind of weather 40, where you don't
45 degrees, 50 degrees.
50 degrees, but it got like to like 70 and sunny during the day, so it got a little warm.
It's cold that night. Oh,
it's the time of year where like
I love football.
Right around the time the fourth quarter kicks off, the sun is setting, and then yeah, you got to throw on the stocking hat because it gets kind of cold.
Oh,
heck yes.
That's those it. Aren't even tailgate things. Those are just things we love about football.
Yep.
Which is great because that's exactly what I was hoping for. Gentlemen, absolutely killed the draft. Thank you. Great podcast and all. I think this is a great place to go ahead and leave it because I gotta tell you, the next time that we record, so about a week from now, we will be officially in the run-up to this season kickoff. And I gotta tell you, the vibes could not be better. We love football. We just talked about why we love football for like an hour and 10 minutes. And I gotta say, it was time well spent.
I agree wholeheartedly. Good show. We will have actual Iowa State football to preview next week. The good news is that there will be, we will get a little college football action this week. We didn't really talk about it, but I was just going to go through a quick overview of the, they call it week one. Is this technically week zero scoreboard? We've got a little Citadel Coastal Carolina on Thursday. Ohio State Utah is the headliner that evening at 7 o'clock on Fox. Friday, we get a potentially fun one in North Carolina at Virginia Tech. Wait a second. This is giving me week one.
Week zero is like Nebraska, Illinois. I can promise you we will have a full breakdown of the week one schedule in addition to Iowa State next week.
Week zero, you've got Nebraska, Illinois, UConn, Fresno State, Hawaii, UCLA, UTEP, New Mexico State, Southern Utah, San Jose State.
I love it. little wide right money line preview. Gentlemen, great podcast. Pleasure to talk to you. We love football, and we can't wait to talk to you during game week next week.
Dang right.
Wolf clones.